Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
For you is that you have somebody that supports you as much as LeVar Ball supports his sons. If you get somebody like that in your corner, you're going to go places. You're going to be able to accomplish anything you set your mind to. But we do want to jump in the Word here, and we do want to remember why we are here, and His name is Jesus. And as much as we love the gifts, receiving, as much as we love all of the family, let us gather as the Nativity shows and make Jesus the central focus of not just tomorrow, but every day of our lives. And remember that it's Jesus is the reason we have the family that we have, the cars that we have, the blessings that we have. And when Jesus sends Santa to your house, thank Jesus. He just used Santa. Santa's just his helper. But remember, it's Jesus. And we got kids in the house, and so I've always got to remember to phrase things the right way. Matthew chapter 2, Lord help me, verse 10. When they saw the star, this is the wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. This is not what I want to preach about, but let me just pause here and just say, when they saw the sign of Christ, they got excited. When they saw the sign of the birth of Christ, there was an exceeding joy in their life. That's why David would say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. He said, just at the thought that I'm going to make it into the presence of the Most High God, there's an exceeding joy. I could preach on that the rest, but we're going to move on. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, the greatest gift, the greatest gift. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, have you received the greatest gift? Now ask them again, have you given the greatest gift? You may be seated. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. Now, I love every day because every day is a gift from God, but I love Christmas. My birthday is on October 14th. The prime part of the year is October 14th to December 25th because you've got my birthday. I have my birthday. I have Halloween. I don't celebrate the bad, but I love going and getting free candy from strangers. Nothing like it. Then Bishop's birthday is the next day. We celebrate that. And then Thanksgiving, just an excuse to just gorge yourself on everything that is holy. Then we've got Christmas. We've got Pastor Becky's birthday. And then we start again in January, the countdown until Christmas. At my house, it is like this all year long. Hey, 11 months from today is Christmas, y'all. Hey, 9.5 months from date, right now we'll be opening gifts. That's how we do it we are counting down Christmas. Now, I would love to say as a kid, we are counting down Christmas because we love to celebrate Jesus. But as a kid, you count down Christmas because of one thing and one thing only. And it's not pumpkin pie, and it's not cheesecake, and it's not carols and Christmas movies. You count down Christmas for one reason, and that is, what did Santa bring me? What is under the tree? How many of you love to receive gifts? Raise your hand. How many of you have a spirit of lying and you don't have your hand up right now? We all love to receive gifts. But I've noticed as I've gotten older, I love to receive gifts. And I'll gladly receive any gift, but I love to watch the people I love receive their gifts. I know that Christmas was a lot easier when I didn't have a 13-year-old and 11-year-old. Because their Christmas list used to be filled with things like Play-Doh, that you can get a 4-pack for $3, and you could get a whole lot of stuff for $10, $15, $20, and man, we'd have that Christmas tree, Santa would help us stack all those presents, and we'd have them as high as we could, and then sooner or later, it wasn't Play-Doh, it was iPads. And then the nerve of the children to complain about how many gifts are under the tree. Listen, Joker, when you're asking for Play-Doh, we could stack them as high as you want. You get 15, 20 gifts. But when iPhones, iPads, come on, Sister Tammy, help me preach. iPads, iPhones, chargers, all of these things, it's no longer $10 gifts. It's $1,000 gifts. It's $600 gifts. And then they're complaining. And if you got two kids, you know what I'm talking about. They got six gifts. I only got four. Quit counting gifts. Just be so grateful for what you have. That's all the parents. The grandparents are shaking their heads. The kids are shaking their heads. All the parents. I'm just preaching from where I'm at. About 5 years ago, Pastor Mandy and I redid our wills. I think that every parent, every family should have a will in place. It makes things so much easier in case something catastrophic happens. And so Tata was about 8 or 9 years old. And so we came home and we're talking about, where have you guys been? Well, we've been doing our will. Well, what's a will? Well, a will tells everybody who's going to get stuff if someone were to die. And he said, who gets Wolfpaw? That's what Tyler calls his grandpa. Who gets Wolfpaw stuff if he dies? Grandma. What if grandma dies? Me and Sean split it. Well, what if you and Sean die? Well, mom would get it. Well, what if everybody, you and mom and grandma and Wolfpaw and Uncle Sean, I said you and Jaden would split. He goes, who has to die for me to get everything? That's an 8 or 9 year old response. Because listen, as a kid, it's all about us. You're not worried about what other people are opening. It's always, why don't I have that? Why didn't I get as many gifts? I want this gift, I want that, and it's all about us. And listen, we laugh and we remember, and it's kind of cute when we're talking about 8-year-old kids, but what about the immature Christians? That it's all about us, and we can't rejoice with somebody else who received from God the thing that we had asked for, and we can't rejoice with those that rejoice, but we get a sour look on our face and say, well, I'm at church more than they are, and I serve more than they do, and I volunteer more than them, and I think I'm a better person. And you've got to understand that to really understand the gift of Christmas and the gift of Jesus, it cannot all be about us, and we have to remember that it has to be about other people, but ultimately, it has to be about Jesus. And when we make it about Jesus, it is an amazing thing how the miracle works. When I make Christmas about Jesus, Jesus makes Christmas about us and about me. Because understand, when I lift up the name of Jesus, the Bible said he draws people to him. When I lift up the name of Jesus and I make him my central focus, he said, I will scatter your enemies. It's amazing to me how gifts have changed from when I was 5 to 15 to 25 and now 36. My desires, my wants have changed. Why? Because I have matured. Can I talk to somebody today and tell you to quit asking for Play-Doh when you serve the God of the universe that can meet every one of your needs? But here's the deal. Quit asking for all of those things only and ask for more of Jesus. Make room in the manger of your life for him, because when Jesus steps in, like the song you used to sing, he brings everything that you need, healing, power, and victory. I don't want the gifts without the giver of the gifts. The gifts are meaningless unless I have Jesus there to watch me open them. So there's three wise men, and to make the story work in the nativity, and we've talked about the symmetrical view of the nativity. There's three shepherds and there's three wise men, and it makes a great story. But here in Matthew 2, we hear the real story about the wise men, that they did not show up the night that Christ was born. Bible history tells us that it was at least 2 years. Matthew 2, verse 11 tells us that he was a young child and that they went to his house, not to a manger, not to a barn. But they went to his house, and there they offered him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Can I encourage you, every time you come to Jesus, make sure that you are not empty-handed. And you say, well, I don't have a big offering to bring. That's not what I'm talking about. Because everybody in the story, in the nativity story, in the story of Jesus Christ, every one of them had a gift to bring him. And your gift might not look like your neighbor's gift, but make sure you come to Jesus with something. Because my Jesus is able to make a lot out of nothing, to make something out of the little that you bring. Say, Pastor Brandon, 2017 has been a horrific year for me. It hadn't been what I thought it would. And I tried to walk in faith, but I didn't have the things. I'm here to tell you, bring your tragedy to Jesus. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Do you know that your tragedy and your problem can be a gift to God, because God doesn't see problems without solutions. God doesn't have questions without answers. And so at the end of 2017, you might be at the manger in your life and say, God, I have nothing to bring you but the bad and the ugly. And God is saying, bring it on, because that's the ingredients that are necessary for me to work a Christmas miracle in your life. The shepherds came. They didn't come because of a star. They came because of angels. Angels singing, angels giving them direction. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so they set out to find this baby Jesus. They didn't have anything. They didn't come with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Their present was their presence. Can I just encourage you? Let's move into 2018. Let your present in 2018 be your presence in the life of God. We always talk about, well, is God in your life? And you should have God as number one in your life. That goes without saying. But I want to be present, and I want my presence to mean something to God. I don't want to be in one day and out the next. I don't just want to be there for His birth and celebrate His resurrection in April. Every day of my life, I want to roll out of my bed and say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and God, my present to you is my presence. I don't have $1 million yet to give you, but I give you my presence. I give you my body. I give you my hands. I give you my voice. The Bible says that the shepherds left the nativity scene and they told everybody what they had seen. Their present to God was not only their presence, it was their voice and their testimony. If God has done something for you in 2017, make some noise. What God has done for you, praise God. What God has done for you, when you verbalize that, that becomes one of the greatest gifts you can give to God. And when you give God a gift, something great happens. Herod had his opportunity, but he wanted to kill the baby. The innkeeper had his opportunity. Just think, we would have known the innkeeper's name if he had just evicted somebody else, so that they could have the, so that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph could have their room. Can I encourage somebody today? It might take you cutting somebody off this year, but if they're taking the space that Jesus is supposed to take, go ahead and cut them loose. You don't want to be a footnote in history. You want your name written, praise God. You want your name in bright light saying, listen, I'm the one who made a place for Jesus. I had to make somebody else mad, but I made Mary and Joseph glad. I had to make somebody, the Bible said he would be born, amen, in Bethlehem. He could have been born in an inn, but they did not want to give him the room. And so the innkeeper had a great gift of space that he could have given him and room to operate. But he said, sorry, we do not have room. Even the donkey gave a present. He gave his back. Sometimes a jackass will give a gift that an innkeeper won't. Sometimes God will use things that other people discard. Sometimes God will use things that other people overlook. Can I encourage somebody today that what you hold in your hand as a gift might not look like a gift to anybody else, but go ahead and give it anyway, because God is not looking at the gift only. He's looking at the heart of the giver. And sometimes God is needing to see some want to from you. God is needing to see somebody who's taken inventory and said, God, I have nothing left, but I have a donkey. Lord, you can use me. You can sit on my shoulders. You can sit on my back, and I will carry you to purpose. I will carry you to destiny. I will carry you to the predestined destination that you're supposed to be. Even the animals in the nativity scene in the barn made room. Little sheep went without food that night because the manger was being used. Have to make room for Jesus. The innkeeper refused to make room because he wanted to be politically correct, and he was saying, first come, first serve, and I've already taken their money, and it would be wrong of me. I'm here to tell you, nor will Living Way Church ever be politically correct, because to be politically correct is to not be Christ correct. And I would rather be correct with Christ, not the baby in the manger, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, than to be correct with anybody else. I'm sorry if I've got to move you so Jesus can step in, I will move you out the way. If I've got to cut you loose so Jesus can be born and born again, I will do what I have to do to make sure Jesus has the space and opportunity to move. Mary gave her reputation. We shout about it. Oh, my God, Mary, she's just such a woman of faith. And we sing that song, Mary, Did You Know, which I love that song. And a friend of mine actually wrote a song that is anti-Mary, Did You Know? He said, of course she knew. I think she knew the greatness of God. I just don't think she knew the fullness of that greatness. Mary gave up her reputation. And we talk about how much faith it took now, but let's just visit 2017, and your 16-year-old daughter comes home pregnant and tells you, I've never been with a boy, but I've been with God. Oh, sure you have. You're about to come to Jesus right now. That's how that conversation would happen. Walking through the streets, people are calling her names. People are cutting her off. Why? Because God has placed something in her. She gave reputation. She gave her body as a living sacrifice, not as a living sacrifice unto God. That's what Romans 12 says. Everybody has an opportunity to bring a gift, and that gift is going to create something in you that you didn't even know is possible. Mary said yes. Joseph said yes. What a man Joseph is to hear that story and to have the Holy Spirit at least moving him enough that he didn't kick her out or leave her. But he said, I believe that you have not been with another man, but you have been with God and God alone, and that God has impregnated you with the Savior of the world. I know we're not married, and I know people are going to talk about me, and they're going to talk about what a sellout I am and what a wuss I am because I stay with you. But I'm not staying with you just because of you. I'm staying with you because of what you carry. And it was his integrity, character, and everything that he was and had built on the line, but it was his gift. And it's not just when Jesus is born that this goes away. There were scoffers in the day that said, what a story those two made up. Jesus is 10 years old teaching, going to the temple, 12 years old teaching the teachers and the lawyers in the temple. And people are still saying, there goes that illegitimate child that they call Jesus. It didn't cost them 9 months of integrity. Didn't cost them 9 months of reputation. It changed the entire course of their life and how people viewed them. But if people view you differently because of the Jesus that you carry, let them view you differently, because at the end of the day, you carrying Jesus and what you think about that Jesus is all that matters. In the secular world that I live in and that I do business in, I have a lot of friends, and it's like Bishop said, they like me, but they like me outside of church. But I've heard, and it's gotten back to me, that, man, he's crazy. He's radical. Have you ever seen him preach? Have you ever tuned in to livingwaychurch.net at 11 o'clock? They just wind him up and watch him go. I've heard all of those comments. But it doesn't matter what they say, because I've had a word from God. It doesn't matter what I hear everyone else saying. Why? Because I want Jesus to be born in my life. And if I am going to have him born in my life, there is a gift I have to give him. And I'll give him the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but I want to give him the greatest gift that I can give him, which is me. Saying, Jesus, have your way. Proverbs 18:16. Let's go there real quick. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Let's read a couple other translations of this very same verse that we read in the King James Version. The New International Version says, a gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of greatness. The New Living Translation says, given a gift can open doors. It gives access to important people. The English Standard Version says a gift makes room for him and brings him before the great. New American Standard Bible says a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The reason that is important that here on this Christmas day and Christmas Eve moving forward, that we always do not come empty-handed to God, but we always come with a gift is, listen, we have always preached that a gift makes room and sets you in front of presidents and senators and all of those things. I'm here to tell you that this is a prophetic utterance from Solomon to Jesus and to the wise men, saying, when you come, you better bring a gift, because you cannot approach greatness without something in return. But the gift is not specified. Whatever you can bring, I encourage you to bring it. Whatever you can gather together, I encourage you to bring it. Because why? When you show up at the manger and you've got something to give God, it's going to allow the creator of the universe to be born anew in your life. He might have been born in a manger 2,000 years ago, but our entire existence is not so that we can say we know of Jesus, but that we can say, not only have I been to the manger, but I've been to the cross. And the same God on the manger was the same Jesus on the cross, and he has been born anew in my life. Have you ever called somebody and asked for an appointment, asked to see them, and they either eluded you, ignored you, or just told you no? Thank you, brother. Me and you are the only ones that that's ever happened to. You know how you can change that situation? Get a gift. Come on now. Have you ever talked to somebody and they said, hey, can I just have 3-4 minutes of your time? No, I'm really busy. Well, I had something to give you. Well, something just popped open on my schedule. Because gift giving is a language that all of us understand. I could go to another country, not speak their language, and bring a gift like this. They won't even know who I am. Sister Tammy, I'm sorry if I messed this up. They don't even have to know who I am. But if I walk up to them with a gift, it gives me audience. It gives me access. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody. See, we've been coming with empty hands to God for too long. See, that's the reason we praise like we praise. You call it crazy, we call it a gift. That's why when people, they lay out on this altar in worship and they're crying and they're howling and they're laughing and they're all of those emotions, we run the gamut of them here at Living Way, and you say, that's emotionalism, that's what you call it. We call it a gift. That's why when Pastor Tammy shows up, our prayer pastor, at 5:30 a.m. with her prayer team on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you say that's a bit much. They could pray at any time. That's what you call it. They call it a gift. Say, why aren't my prayers heard? Because you're empty-handed. Why isn't God working in my life like he works in all those other people's lives down there at the church? It's because you're empty-handed. Well, I don't have a gift to bring. Yes, you do. Your time is a gift. Your praise is a gift. Your prayer life is a gift. Your serving at Living Way is a gift. Your volunteering is a gift. Listen, when you make time for God, God will make time for you. And we've got way too many people wanting God to do everything and them not to do anything. But I'm here to tell you, if you will come to God with a gift, it might not be a big gift, but it's a gift. It's going to give you access into the house. Mary hears a knock on the door. Jesus is 2 years of age. Remember, they are trying to kill Jesus. Herod has had soldiers literally ripping babies out of mothers' arms, killing them in their cribs, in their bassinets, in the streets, a bloodbath of every young man under the age of 2. And here Jesus is. Bible history tells us he's 2 years old, and there's a rap at the door, a knock at the door, and here she opens up the door, just a little crack with a little chain still connected. You know how those old school apartment motel chains? She's got the door cracked this much. What do you need? We're here to see Jesus. I'm sorry, he's asleep. We've come a long way. We've been looking for him for 2 years. Yeah, I know you've been looking for him. A lot of people have been looking for him for 2 years. Well, we need to come in. You're not coming in. Joseph, get the gun. The Magi are wise men, so they get the gifts out. We don't want to kill them. We want to celebrate them.
don't want to kill him. We want to worship him. And we didn't come empty-handed. And Joseph's, he's on the carpenter salary. He sees that gift. He said, man, they rode in on camels. They dressed in some Armani tunics. He said, those are some nice vases and jars that they got. He said, why don't you go ahead and let the chain off, Mary? And they opened the door. And their gifts created room. It wasn't the feeding of the 5,000. Because the only one that Jesus even talked to personally in the feeding of the 5,000 was the disciples. And who else? The little boy with the gift. Because 5,000 men are saying, feed me more. I'm hungry. And a little boy said, here's what I got, Jesus. His gift gave him audience. The three wise men come in and they begin to worship and they get a one-on-one encounter with the creator of the world, savior of humanity. Listen, thousands of babies had grown up to be king, but only one king has decided to become a baby, and they're there at his bassinet and they're worshiping and celebrating with a gift. My question to you, Pastor Beck, if you'll come, is what are you offering Jesus today? Tomorrow, hopefully, you get a day off of work surrounded by your family. You're going to open all the gifts that Santa and Jesus have brought and all of those great things. It's going to be a great day in your house. What about Jesus? What about the reason the entire world has stopped? What about the reason that we have special nights to decorate and special nights to wrap presents and all of the great tradition? All of those are great, and I love the Christmas tradition, but what have we brought to him? Because the bigness of God moving in your life is not depending on how great he is, but on the gift and the greatest gift that we have to give him. And your gift might be praise, prayer, worship. It might be a faith seed. It might be your service and your volunteering. But I'm here to tell you the greatest gift that you can give God is your life. The greatest gift is to say, Jesus, I'm yours. The good, the bad, and the ugly, I'm yours. Is to say, Jesus, all of the strengths I have are because of you. They're yours. All of the weaknesses I have, the Bible says that you're made strong in my weakness. My weakness, I'm all yours. Young people, that means that who you marry, God is in on that decision. That means where you go to school, God is in on that. What you do with your life as a vocational career, God is in on that. That you ask God, that you talk to God, God is a part of that. Why? Because he gave you everything that you have. You say, well, I worked hard in school. I was valedictorian. Who gave you those? If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be able to wake up and put your socks on the right feet and tie your shoes. It is all Jesus. Become, and I preached about becoming reflectors of praise. Remember, anytime somebody says something good about you, they're really saying something good about God, whether they know him or not. And that's a great business deal you did. All God, he gave me the knowledge. He gave me the understanding. He opened that door. He did things that nobody else could see. What are you giving God this year? The greatest gift you have is you. The greatest gift you have is you. Stand on your feet. Pastor Mandy and I, we moved into a new house 4 years ago. It was a foreclosure. It was a God thing. Went to closing twice before we were able to get it. Going to closing twice actually ended up being a blessing because then I could redo my offer to them and said, evidently, you can't sell this house. And so I dropped the price by $20,000 and made the bank pay all of closing costs. It was great. 10 years, we rented a house, saved all of our money, scraped all those dimes together, put down that down payment on that house, and moved in. But it was tight for a while. And so the last 3 or 4 years, we've limited each other's gifts. So, Pastor Mandy, what are we going to do this year? She said, all right, I don't want you spending any more than $50 on me for Christmas. So we just set that limit. All right, for our anniversary, we're not going to spend any more than $20. You got to be real creative to get something
for $20 on your anniversary. Some of the men are saying, hey, how can I work out that deal? That's your own deal. I don't know. What we're really saying is the gifts, they're not near as important as people make them. It's you. And if we just go to a movie, which you can't even go to a movie for $20. If we just have a dinner, if we have a Lunchable, come on now. If we cook up some ramen, it's going to be good. Because it's with you. Here at the end of 2017, you might be saying, Pastor Brent, I don't have much to give. You've got enough. Because you've got you. God says, make a joyful noise. That's all you can do. Just send him a praise. Make a joyful noise. Let every breath praise God. Anything that has breath, let him give a praise. If you got breath, that's enough. But I believe that 2018 is going to be the greatest year this church has ever seen. I claim it for the church. I claim it for everybody in this room right now. But I'm going to tell you how it's going to happen. By giving God the greatest gift that we can, which is us. You say, Pastor Brandon, are you getting ready to take a big offering? Nah. The biggest offering we have is you giving your life fully to Jesus Christ. Are you going to ask us to sign up for a bunch of ministries? Nah. Your ministry is outside the four walls of this church. Give your gift to God. In closing, I read Sister Natasha's Facebook post yesterday in Walmart. Old man comes walking by, can barely walk, holding his side. She walks up to him, complete stranger, asked him how he's doing, if there's anything that she can do for him. And he's talking about how much pain he's in and the reports of the doctor. And she just said, can I pray for you? Laid hands on him in the middle of Walmart. My God, we need some more of that in Walmart. She got done praying. He looked at her and said, man, you're good. You know what he was really saying is, that prayer worked. I feel better. Gift. The greatest gift is not what she gives to Gary or Tarion or any of her children. The greatest gift was what she gave to that complete stranger by saying, yeah, God, I'll be your hands, I'll be your feet, I'll be your voice. Don't come empty-handed this year. Every day of your life, remember, the baby in a manger grew up to be the man on the cross. His spirit came down to the upper room. He's alive today, and we should celebrate him as such. He's a living king, king of all kings, Lord of all lords. I open this altar right now for those of you that it's time that you give God the greatest gift that you've ever given him. But many times.